1-7. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment."
Like being Lawrence Welk, or same tiny bubble. Showing my age, aren't I?
I guess I'm here with this other thing.
I feel really badly. Whenever we talk about someone's birthday, I always have this fear that someone else has a birthday on the same day that I'm not aware of. And this time I was aware. Val, isn't today your birthday? Yesterday. Close enough. I think before my sermon, since we're doing bubbles, we need to sing happy birthday. Before we do that, does anybody else have a birthday that I missed? Okay. Dan had one on Thursday. He's far enough, but we'll include two. Okay. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Val and Dan and anyone else in the world.
Happy birthday to you.
Seriously, with the bubbles and Leah on keyboard, it feels like Lawrence Welk all over again. Last we left Naomi and Ruth, they had just arrived in Bethlehem after a journey from Moab. You remember from last week. Moab, where Naomi, her husband, and her two sons found food after Bethlehem was hit with a famine. Moab, where the sons married Moabite women. Moab, where Naomi's husband and sons all died. As you remember, Naomi was left with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi heads for Bethlehem because Moab is not her home, and Ruth insists on going with her. Not only with her, Ruth insists that she will be with Naomi through every day, every week, month, good time and bad time that comes Naomi's way. Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem, and by that time, Naomi is empty. There is nothing that she owns, and there's nothing that even owns Naomi. Naomi, you remember, means pleasant, and when she arrives in Bethlehem, she says to call her Mara, which means bitter. Empty, bitter, no hope, Naomi's darkest hour. Of course, it wasn't that great of an hour for Ruth either, was it? She's left her homeland, her family, to go with Naomi. She has left her homeland to go into the land of the people of God. And it is this God that has said that Israelites are to never welcome Moabites or help them prosper. For when the Lord your God led you out of Egypt, the Moabites never offered you one morsel of food or one drop of drink. This is the land into which Ruth has followed Naomi. Now, while Naomi does feel empty and hopeless, she does have some relatives still left in Bethlehem, which is more than she had in Moab. One of the relatives is a very prominent pillar of the community, very wealthy man named Boaz. Now, until she can sort out who it is that she belongs to now, remember, that was what happened in that day, Ruth says to Naomi, we've got to have food, basically. Let me go to the fields and glean, pick up the leftover grain among the ears of grain. Let me go and maybe I will find favor in someone's sight. I am sure that when Naomi heard Ruth's request, she also heard the words of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Y'all did so good at recalling the Old Testament text last week. I'm sure you're hearing this one. The text in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, God forbids Israelite farmers from stripping their land completely clean when they are harvesting their crops. They were supposed to leave the grain standing at the edges of every field, and any of the grain that fell elsewhere in the field during the harvest, they were to leave that there too. God says that the grain standing on the edges of every field you own and the grain that has fallen as your workers have harvested the crops is for the poor, the resident alien, the orphan, and the widow. God says, don't take everything you have earned for yourself. You leave enough for those who are on the margins, those who are the lowest of society, so that they have something to eat. That is what Ruth wants to go do. Ruth knows that Naomi and her are part of the bottom of the barrel. And I'm sure Naomi probably feels that she's even lower than the bottom of the barrel. So she gives her blessing to Ruth. So Ruth goes, and she begins to glean. The New Revised Standard Version of the Bible says, next, as it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Or, as it turned out, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. The Hebrew literally says, her happening happened. Her happening happened. Or, as luck would have it. As luck would have it, Ruth happens upon a part of the field that belongs to Boaz. Just then, or as luck would have it, Boaz arrives at the field. For some reason, he notices that there is someone new gleaning in his fields and asks his servants who she is. What he actually asks is, to whom does she belong? Who owns her? The servants hear that she's the Moabite that came back with Naomi. They tell Boaz that she came asking to please be allowed to glean and gather among the grain after the reapers. She's been working on her feet from early morning and has not rested for even 1 minute. And yet another happening happens, or as luck would have it. Boaz tells Ruth to only glean in his fields. Don't go to the other fields. Cling to my young women. And the word here for clinging is the same as how Ruth clung to Naomi when they were leaving. Boaz says to cling in the same way to my young women. And I have ordered the young men not to bother you. Now remember, Ruth is a Moabite. All women were in danger when they would glean in the fields. All women. All were in danger when they would pick up the crumbs so that they were able to eat. But Ruth is in even more danger as a Moabite. Boaz is telling her, you can glean all you want in my fields. If you want to stay safe, stay close to my young women and know that I have told the young men to leave you alone. Oh, and if you get thirsty, go to the vessels of water and drink from what has been drawn by the young men. Talk about luck. Here's a real foreign woman. She really has no rights in Bethlehem, and Boaz should have told her to go away. Go back to your own country. Instead, this pillar of the community makes sure that Ruth even has water to drink, food and water. Isn't it the lack of food, thank you, and water that caused God to curse the Moabites? Isn't that why God said, because they didn't offer food or drink? And here is one of God's people offering food and water to someone who the community has every right to shun. As luck would have it, sounds like a little more than luck to me. And it sounds like more than luck to Ruth, too. She falls to the ground and she asks Boaz, why in the world are you doing this for me? I am a foreigner. I'm an unnoticed person. Boaz shares that he has heard all that Ruth has done for Naomi and all that Ruth gave up to care for Naomi. Then he asks for a blessing for her from the Lord, the God of Israel. Wow, talk about loving your neighbor. Boaz has broken many, many rules. Many rules, even commandments from God, as luck would have it. But it gets even better. When there is a break for a meal, Boaz says to Ruth, come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine. Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine. So Ruth sat and Boaz gave her a heaping plate of parched grain and she ate until she was satisfied and she still had some left over. When she left, Boaz told her servants to allow her to glean from the standing sheaves and to pull some handfuls out of the bundles. Leave it on the ground for her to glean and do not rebuke her. Well, after that long day and all of this luck happening, Ruth gets home. She shows Naomi all that she has gleaned and how much food she had left over after she ate to her satisfaction. And when Ruth told Naomi that she gleaned in the fields of a man named Boaz, Naomi said, "Blessed be Boaz by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi, our Naomi, who was empty and bitter and sad and depressed and not a drop of hope anywhere in her life, has just been reminded that the kindness of the Lord does not forsake the living or the dead. Our Naomi has hope. Our Naomi is alive again. And all because someone showed kindness to her daughter-in-law. Someone showed kindness to a Moabite. Allowing someone to glean from what we have earned, offering someone food and water, we never know when, as luck will have it, one or two acts of kindness may be just what offers hope to someone who is below the bottom of the barrel. Personally, I don't believe it was just luck. Boaz believed in the goodness of God and was a believer in God. He knew the importance of allowing even those who have to glean for food to have life and to have dignity, even if they shouldn't even be in his country. After all, remember, she's a Moabite. When we proclaim the love and grace of God, our lives change. And just as Jesus ate with those who were considered sinners and dirty, just as Jesus was able to feed 5,000 people until they were satisfied and there was food left over, just as Jesus offered bread dipped in wine to those who would desert and betray, just as Jesus showed kindness and did not forsake the living or the dead, just as luck would have it, we too are called to be that person, that community of faith that welcomes the stranger, the alien resident, the orphan, the widow, the outcast of our society today. One never knows when a bag of grace, a can at Groveland Food Shelf, a prayer, a phone call, noticing the stranger in our midst, one never knows when we share the bread and the cup, one never knows when we feed a crowd and have food left over, one never knows when that moment is the moment that we have just showed someone the love, grace, mercy, and kindness of God. As luck would have it. No. When we live with God at the center of all that we do, then all will have life, and no luck is needed. Amen.